In the Lord of the Rings trilogy, there is one ring that eludes the grasp of the evil Lord Sauron. Initially, 19 rings of power were created and distributed to dwarves and elves and men. But Sauron secretly created a 20th ring with the power to rule the other rings. One ring to rule them all. Now I'm taking that phrase, one ring to rule them all, as a starting point for the sermon today on the best known rule of conduct that Jesus probably ever spoke. Sometimes it's called the golden rule. How many of you have heard of that? Yeah, most of us have heard of it, haven't we? But as Jesus will point out, it really is the one rule to rule all other rules. Okay? The one rule to rule them all. Because that rule rules everything else found in the law and the prophets, according to Jesus. One rule to rule them all. So whether we call it the golden rule or not, we can agree with this one thing. This one rule greatly simplifies human relationships and behaviors. Now, we as Jesus' followers are not ignorant of another very prominent rule of relationships that Jesus reminded us of. He didn't make it up. He quoted it from the Old Testament. Do you remember what it was? You shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. But the question could arise, how am I supposed to show love to my neighbor? How am I to go about loving my neighbor as I love myself? And for this, the one rule that rules them all could become very helpful to us. So let's read what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I want to make some brief comments on sort of what this rule is not and just a few other odd comments. And then I want to proceed with you to take a closer look at what Jesus actually taught us. So it's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, the first thing I want to say in clarification is that we must beware against the idea that the golden rule is a pathway to salvation. That if we treat others the way we would like to be treated, that we will be in heaven someday. Nothing could be further than the truth. Because first of all, you won't do it perfectly, and then what happens? Now, you and I are not going to be able to get to heaven by our accomplishments. We only get to heaven through believing in the saving blood of Jesus Christ. But I've heard people who said, my religion is the golden rule. Well, my friend, this ain't no religion. Because if you set up the golden rule as your religion, then you're worshiping an idol. A statement of the true God, not the true God himself. And so this is not a religion. It's not a way to heaven. But what it clearly is the way that Jesus wants his disciples, his followers, to relate to other people. A rule of thumb, a guidance point, so that we'll know what we should do. I love it. It's so simple. How many of you could stand up right now and recite for me the Ten Commandments? Okay, Greg could do it. That leaves an awful lot of you out. All right, I'll make it simpler. Let's skip the first four. Those have to do with our relationship with God. How about the last six? How many could do that now? You could do the last six. Well, I appreciate that. That might not be a bad thing. Maybe we all need to learn that song. My friends, if you can't remember six, and you can't remember ten, How are you going to remember all the law and the prophets? Well, we can't. We need something simple. Right, Michael? I know you need simple stuff. You're just like me. We're not brainiacs. We just give it to me simple. And that's what Jesus does in this passage. I would call it personal relationships simplified. Now, some have pointed out when they come to the study of the passage that we're looking at today, that Jesus' teaching is not unique. And they would say you can find similar ideas in other religions of the world. And somebody's compiled a list of these, so I'll read just a few of them. In Buddhism, for instance, it says, treat not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. So don't do something that you know you would be hurt by doing it if somebody did it to you. Confucianism says this, the one word which sums up the basis of all good conduct is loving kindness. Do not do to others what you would not want done to yourself. Hinduism says this is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you. Judaism, and I'm not talking about Old and New Testament, but the development of Judaism through the rabbis. Rabbi Hillel says, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole Torah. All the rest is commentary. Go and learn it. Zoroastrianism says, do not do unto others whatever is injurious to yourself. Now, there are similar ideas present in Greek and Roman thought. But I hope you notice what is a little bit different about what Jesus said. All of these others say, avoid doing what's hateful to you. Avoid doing what you would find harmful to yourself. Jesus doesn't just say that, does he? Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Everything. It's both positive and negative. It's refraining from doing something that's hurtful, harmful, but it would be replacing it with something that's helpful, right? Doing to others. And so in some sense, Jesus' teaching is unique. Now, let's take a closer look then at this verse and what Jesus actually said. First of all, the essence of the rule. The rule is very simple there. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. In other words, judge your responses to other people by considering how would you want them to treat you under a similar situation. So, very simple to implement. Doesn't take a lot of thought, not simple rule. Just think about how you would like somebody to treat you in this circumstance, and you go do it that way. That's what you should do. Now, in my New American Standard Version, and you may have picked it up if you were reading along in another version, New American Standard Version, for some unknown reason, inverted the word order. Okay? Mine, others say, says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. But, for instance, in the ESV and most other translations, it's in whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. So it starts with what you would want and then says do. My New American Standard kind of reversed that. Of course, it makes no difference. As long as both phrases are there, we know what he's telling us to do. Now, I want you to think about what this rule is by way of a little bit of contrast. What are some ways that maybe the world teaches us that we should have what's the basic rule that we should have in relationships to other people that we might get out in the world or that the devil might try to tempt us to apply? Can you think of any? All right, raise a hand. Yeah, that's right. Get them before they get you. That should be a rule of thumb. If somebody's not going to do the getting, You better do the getting first. Okay? What else?
Treat others like they treat you.
Treat others just like they treat you. Do unto others what they've done unto you. Okay? Not what you would like to have done, but what they've done. Right? Okay? So some people live by that rule. Can you think of any others? Herbie or Carol?
An eye for an eye.
An eye for an eye. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. To the extent that you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. Right. Herbie?
I'm number one.
I'm number one. Look out for number one. Take care of number one. Be on top all the time. Make sure that nobody else gets what you really want. Right? Make sure you get it. By contrast, Jesus says, no, that's all wrong. You know what that leads to? It leads to anger, bitterness. It leads to broken relationships. It leads to wars between peoples. Why? Because we're trying to get even. We're trying to get what we want. We're putting ourselves in front of others. But Jesus doesn't tell us to do it that way. He says, whatever you want someone else to be doing to you, well, that's how you should be behaving toward them. Okay? Very simple. And a beautiful, simple statement that can change our lives, change those around us. Now, look at the equality of this rule. He says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way. Now, notice what he says. He leaves out a word that we could put in there, but it's implied. And that's the word all, right? Treat all people as you would want to be treated. So what he's really saying is that this rule applies equally to everybody. You don't have categories of people where you say, well, those people, I don't have, you know, I got a different set of rules for dealing with them, okay? Or I don't have to respect them, or I don't have to be kind to them, or I don't have to think nicely of them. Because they're in a different category. But actually, Jesus put us on equal footing here. He put the slave with the free. He put the poor with the rich. He put the educated with the uneducated. He put the homeless with the homed, or the housed with the unhoused, as they're saying these days. He put us all on the same basis. And he said, treat everyone. Treat people, all people, in this particular way. It eliminates prejudice. It eliminates bias. It eliminates favoritism. We treat everybody the same way. Notice the extent of the rule. He says, in everything. Not in the easy things. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not in the things that don't matter much. Not in the things that you're really trying to, you know, get influence with this person or get them on your side. But he said, in everything, we are to do this. In every circumstance, we're to apply the golden rule. In every situation, we're to treat others as we want people to treat us. In every time of life, in every situation, circumstance, an experience of life, we are to be treating other people like we'd want to be treated. Pretty comprehensive, isn't it? All-encompassing. And then notice the extent, the endorsement, of the rule. He says, for this is the law and the prophets. He says, if you want to back up, me to back up what I've just said, then just go read the law and the prophets, and you'll see that this little rule pretty much explains everything that the law and the prophets are calling us to do to one another. To treat each other the way we wish they would treat us. The basis of the rule is probably back in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, that verse that we did, in fact, talk about before, where we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. But Jesus would go over in Matthew chapter 22, and he would say, what's the great commandment? And he would say, love the Lord your God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. this command to love, which is both active and reactive, this command to love covers them all. And so Jesus knows that you can boil down the law, everything God wants, and the prophets, everything the prophets have scolded his people for. You can boil it all down to one little saying: do to others what you want them to do unto you. Now I want you to think about the example of this rule. Who's the highest example that you can think of following this rule? That do to others as you would want them to do unto you. Well, if you're struggling, it's Jesus. Remember, the correct answer in every Bible study is either prayer or Jesus, right? Okay. All right. Okay, good. Or I'm blessed and highly favored, one or the other. So Jesus is our perfect example of a person who treated other people in the ways that he himself would have wanted to be treated. Think about it. Jesus turned the other cheek when somebody slapped him. He literally did that. He let them hit him again on the other cheek. He sought God's forgiveness for those who were unjustly harming him and hurting him. Why? Because he would want somebody else not to retaliate. He would want somebody else to be forgiving. And so he was. He treated people with deep respect. And that was especially evident toward people that were scorned generally by others. He welcomed Matthew or Levi, one of the tax collectors, to become one of his disciples, a man who everybody else in the religious establishment of his day looked down on. But he treated Matthew like he'd want to be treated, like a fellow human being who had worth in God's eyes. Think of Zacchaeus. He was also a tax collector, and Jesus stopped his travel on a busy road lined with people so he could go and talk to Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree and said, "I'm going to eat at your house today." And he changed Zacchaeus' life. He healed the demon possessed. Well, my goodness, who would you want to avoid more than somebody who you thought had a demon in him? And Jesus healed the demon possessed. Jesus took into his company the woman at the well in Samaria, a despised woman, a woman who didn't deserve the respect, or many people thought, didn't deserve the respect of anyone. A many married woman who was living without the benefit of marriage with another man and scorned by the other people in her community. But Jesus opened up conversation with her, talked with her, helped to bring her to faith. He touched the lepers. Oh my goodness. I mean, the lepers had to cry out if they came into a populated place, "Unclean, unclean," so nobody would get too close to him because they didn't want to catch what he had. And Jesus touched the lepers. I mean, what a life of doing for others what he would have wanted to have done for him in the same situation. Think of his compassion, his sympathy, and his understanding. Think of the times when the disciples were forcing the little children away from Jesus and he welcomed them. Because as a little child, he wouldn't want to be pushed away from God. He would have wanted to be welcome to be with God. Jesus is a perfect example of treating other people the way he would have liked to have been treated. How many of you have ever read the book? It was popular many years ago. What Would Jesus Do? It's actually got a longer title. It's got In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? Has anybody read that book, Charles Sheldon's book? Yeah, that was very popular. In fact, they had little wristbands and everything like that with WWJD. And if you still have one and you wear it, most people are wondering, what in the world is that all about? But in this little book, it's a novel, it's a fictional book. This whole town took on the idea that what they would do is they would modify their conduct by thinking first about how Jesus would handle something, what Jesus would do in a situation. And then they would try to do what Jesus did. And that became kind of their rule of behavior. Do what Jesus would do in a circumstance. Of course, that takes some imagination. It takes knowing Jesus. It's not a bad rule. But if you don't know a lot about Jesus, you do know a lot about yourself, don't you? And if you don't know what Jesus would do, you do know what, if somebody else did it, would either make you happy or make you angry. Right? And so you can now, not Jesus and what he did, perfect as he was and as good an example as he was, but you can begin to do the same thing for yourself. You can say, I know what I would want in this situation. Simplifies things completely. So let's talk about the exercise then of the rule. Because honestly, your problem and my problem is probably not that we don't know what this rule is. It's more likely that we don't apply it. Okay? That we go by some of those other rules that we talked about, or we just neglect to think about this rule. Now, this rule takes some thought. Because we have to begin, we have to think about how we would like somebody else to be treated in a particular circumstance, or how we would like to be treated in that particular circumstance. Now, we don't have to spend lots of thought about it, but we just need to pause long enough to think, okay, before I react, I need to pause and think. Well, okay, this is what I like to do. But that's not what I would want them to do to me. So I need to think about, what could I do that would be like that I would want them, what could I do for them that would be like how I'd like to be treated? So think about it. Do you want to be treated with respect? Well, then you would respond to somebody with respect. Do you want to be treated with forgiveness? Well, then you'll extend forgiveness to other people. Do you want to be treated with kindness and gentleness? Well, then that's the rule of how you'll treat other people, being kind and gentle. Do you want people to be patient with you? I want people to be patient with me. So what do I need to do? I need to be patient with other people. Am I always? No, I'm not like Jesus. But I know what I should be doing, don't I? And I know when I'm not patient, I'm wrong. Okay? Because it's something that I'd want to receive from you. How about, would I want to be treated with understanding? Maybe I've had a hard day, or a hard week, or something else, and I'd just like you to be a little understanding of me. Think I could do that with some others? Yes. I need to be understanding of other people. It takes a little bit of thought, but not much, to realize how you would like to be treated in a particular situation. But as I said, you know, the problem I think some of us have is not that we couldn't think about it, but we're so used to reacting quickly to something, just responding as a reaction, sort of a knee-jerk kind of thing, that we don't think about, well, what should I really be doing in this situation? And so the golden rule, or the one rule that rules them all, will not rule over us if we can't rule over ourselves and govern ourselves and take control of ourselves. So what do we need? We need the help and the presence of the promised Holy Spirit. Because I recall that Paul told us that one of the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruits of the Spirit in our life, is what? Self-control. But a lot of the other things that we'd want are there too. Gentleness and meekness and kindness and so forth. Those things are there as well. We need to be sure that we're being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and not giving into the flesh. Because the Spirit can tame our tongue, even if we can't. The Spirit can bring self-control. The Spirit can make us meek. The Spirit can bring kindness into our actions if we walk in the Spirit. And so the golden rule is a good rule to have, but the power to live out the golden rule is certainly, at least to a large extent, going to depend on our walking in the Spirit with God. That we're letting His Spirit empower us, direct us, and produce good fruit in us. You know, sometimes I think in our modern world, we as disciples are more known for what we're against than we are known for who we are. We're known for our certain stands that we have that may not go the way people want, but that's always been true. Christians have always stood against certain types of things and been marked out because they abstained from those things. But is that what we want to be known for? Well, you know, back 50 years ago, it might have been, they don't dance, they don't smoke, they don't chew, and they don't go with girls that do. Or they don't go to the movies. Or women don't ever wear pants. I mean, there have been those rules, haven't there? Maybe not in your location, but there have been those rules. And is that what we're known for? Oh, they're the people that always wear black. You know, the women that always have the little white thing in their head, you know, on their hat. What are we known for the things that we're against? Or wouldn't it be better for us to be known by the fact that we govern our lives by this little simple rule that Jesus gave us, that we always treat other people the way we would like to be treated? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Well, Jesus, you've given us this very simple rule. But Lord, we would acknowledge to you that even though we've known it, we haven't always practiced it. But it's our rule of thumb now, from now on, about how we're to react or respond in a given situation. And you know we need your help to be able to do that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to dwell in the life of every believer. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, that we would not grieve you by rushing off and just blurting out something or responding and reacting, but we would give you time to produce in us the kind of response and reaction that we should have. Lord, may we be more known for being gentle and loving and forgiving and patient than we are for being against certain things. And that'll only happen as you transform us from the inside and help us to live out what Jesus clearly lived out all the time in his life, treating others as he himself would want to be treated. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to play a little bit of music in the background. And we're going to invite you, if you need to come to Christ as your personal Savior, to slip out from where you are, to meet us here in the front. Meet me here at the front. Say, Pastor Mark, today I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior. I'd like to begin my Christian life today with Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, well, I'm not quite sure what's involved in that, or I've got questions. Well, there's no better place to get them answered than here in church, and we have folks that can clearly help you if you need that help. So we would invite you to slip out. We'll have people coming who can also help you, and we'll pray with you. We'll help you. Maybe you're here and you got to follow. You need to follow Christ more openly. You want to profess your faith in Christ openly before this congregation, or you need some prayer, or you just feel like there's another spiritual commitment that you need to make. We're here this morning to help, before you leave, that you would do the right thing for God. So as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, a few folks are going to slip forward to help with the counseling, but we're going to hear some music in the background. We invite you to slip out and come. Meet me here at the front.